Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's awesome. He's amazing. He's wonderful. He's awesome in our lives. He's been great. He's been good. I trust God that you are doing well. You and your loved ones, you and your family, I trust you are enjoying the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is a great season where enjoying the incredible works of our Heavenly Father. He's truly amazing. He's truly an awesome Father. Amen. Well, whatever platform you are joining us on tonight, whether you are joining us in real time or some other time after this service, after the stream, welcome. I welcome you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm excited to be back with all of us, and I hope you are excited to be back with us as we continue on in our studies of God's love revolution. What an amazing, powerful series of teachings and series of Bible studies. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew. Well, let's share a word of prayer and let's get into our teaching, into our study tonight. Father, we thank you so much. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. It is such a privilege to know you and to call you our Father. It is such an awesome privilege, God, to be called your children, to be called to walk with you, to be called to know you. Hallelujah. What a blessing that, Father, even when we did not deserve it, when we did not know what we were doing, we had no idea where we were going, you reached out to us. You poured out so much love, so much of your love, your infallible, incredible love upon our lives. And here we are today, enjoying your goodness and enjoying your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Here we are, beneficiaries of your goodness. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for every one of my brothers and sisters, everyone that's joining us tonight for this Bible study. Father, we welcome your presence. We welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are ready. Our hearts are yearning. We are eager. We're hungry. We ask, Lord, that you fill us with manna from heaven. Lord, that you open the eyes of our understanding. Grant us illumination. Enlighten us in our spirit. Give us revelation in the knowledge of you. We yield to you, precious Holy Spirit. Have your way in our midst. None of us and all of you. I thank you, Father, because when it's also all said and done tonight, we will be careful to give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Woo! Glory to God. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you so much again for joining us tonight for this time of ministry. I want us to go right into the Word of God. Let's get right there. Let's dive right into the Word. Love revolution. God's love revolution. A paradigm shift. A shift in our thinking about the love of God. A shift in our understanding of the love of God. Hallelujah. God began that shift. He created that shift. Glory to God. When he sent his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to give everything for us on the cross of Calvary. Who would do that? Who would do such a thing? You look at people who are undeserving. You look at people who do not qualify. You look at people who don't even have a good track record. There's no guarantee they'll do right with that gift that you are giving to them. And yet, you reached out and you gave them the best gift possible. You gave us the best gift possible. That's what our Father did for us. Hallelujah. And we are so thankful. We are so thankful. And Father, we thank you again. We ask God that you bless your people and bless this word. Hallelujah. And fill our hearts. The Bible says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God has already been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Shed abroad that love in our heart again tonight, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Look at what the Lord's done for us. Hallelujah. No wonder in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 in the Amplified, we've read this a few times already. The Bible says, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. What an incredible quality of love the Father has shown and bestowed. Do you know what it means to bestow? It means to pour out. It means to endow. It means to give. It means to just give. To just give, regardless. That's what our Father did for us. Incredible love. Incredible love. Hallelujah. He said, I will love them in a crazy, stupendous, illogical way that does not make any sense. And even though I know they don't deserve it, I'll do it anyways. I love them big. I love them mighty. I love them with an everlasting love. I love them. I will love them and love them and love them and love them with my best. Hallelujah. We're so privileged, we're so honored to be called the children of God, to be loved by Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Paul's prayer is my prayer for us again tonight as we continue, as we carry on in our study, is that the eyes of our understanding will become enlightened, is that we would get a clear revelation. We will increase, because I know for the last several weeks, if you have joined us, if you've been joining us, I know we've been growing in our revelation of the love of God. We've just been receiving. He bestows and we receive. He bestows and we receive. And the clearer it becomes, the more we receive, the more understanding and revelation we have, the more elevated we are. Hallelujah. The more glorious our journey is, the more empowered we are. The power of God is in the love of God. And so, of course, Paul prayed. He prayed for the church, the Ephesian church in Ephesians 3, and he prayed for all of us. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 14. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14. I'm going to read that. Have us read that from the King James Version of the Bible. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, me, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our heart by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in his love. This is the crux of his prayer. This is the central piece of his prayer, that you and that I would be rooted and grounded in the love of God. That the love of God, the knowledge and the revelation of the love of God that we have wouldn't just be something, just something that we just have a mental assent to, but that we will be deeply rooted in that love. Hallelujah. That love will fill our hearts to overflowing. We will have a great understanding, a great knowledge of that love. That's what he prayed. That's the central piece. That's the crux of his prayer. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and that you may know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So that means when we know the love of Christ beyond just that peripheral realm of knowledge, that is when we have an experiential knowledge, experiential and revelational knowledge of the love of God. Then he says we will become full, filled with the fullness of God. There will be such an empowerment in our lives. Glory to God. There will be such an empowerment in our lives that we will become unstoppable. Like he said in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, we'll go and read that in the Passion. Just read through that before we get into new material tonight. That nothing will be able to stop us. Not angels, not spirits, not tribulations, not adversity, not difficulties of life, not pressures, not setbacks, not things that are high and above or things that are low and beneath. Not even death, he said. Not even death. Nothing that happens around our lives will ever be able to stop us from advancing and from becoming everything that Jesus sacrificed his life for us to become, because of the power of the love of God. Because of the power of the love of God. Look at that. It says, glory to God, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then in verse 20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Glory to God. When you have God's love in your heart, you will never be without his power in your life. The cure for every power failure, every kind of power failure in life, in the life of a believer, is abounding agape love in our heart. That's why he prayed that prayer, that we may be deeply rooted and grounded in the love of God. And you know, that's not the only place where he prayed. We've looked at two other places where he prayed exactly the same thing, where he prayed that as God's children, we will abound in the love of God. That's one of the biggest reasons why we are studying together this series of teachings on God's love revolution. Because, yeah, we do have a measure. All of us do have a measure of the love of God. But remember in that scripture in Romans chapter 5, where Paul said, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Well, by the Holy Spirit, right? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Well, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So that means there is, each of us has a capacity to abound in the love of God. The love of God is shed abroad. We saw in 1 John chapter 3, is bestowed. There's another scripture where the Bible says God commended. He commended. It's this same Romans chapter 5. God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. He commended. And that word to commend means to pour it out, to pour it out in abundance. So you see all of these descriptions of a pouring out of the love of God, not a measuring out. In fact, in one of the scriptures, and I think we'll read that later tonight, it says God loved us not in a cautious way, but he loved us with extravagant love. His love for us was extravagant. You know what extravagant means? It means something you show off. It means something you do abundantly. You don't do it in one little corner. You don't do it hiding. And you don't do it carefully. No, you just flaunt it. That's how God loves us. God loves us, and he flaunts his love for us. He loves us in an extravagant way. There is no limit to the abounding measure of the love of God that he has for us. Hallelujah. Well, so Paul also prayed that we will abound in that love. It's one of the reasons, one of the major reasons why we're studying this series of lessons. Because each of us has this measure of the love of God. But it's not enough. We're being challenged. Each and every one of us is being challenged to raise and to abound more in the love of God. To abound more. To abound more. To increase, to excel, to overflow in that love. Remember the illustration several weeks, if you were with us then, we had an illustration that we did with a measure of water, and I took a bottle of water and I just filled that cup of water. So it rose from the measure of water that we started with until it overflowed. That cup started overflowing with water. Well, that's exactly how God wants our love to become. We all have a measure of the love of God. But the Lord wants that measure of the love of God in our hearts to increase, to excel until it overflows. The word he used many times is to abound, abound. Glory to God. So that it goes from this measure, this small, wherever your measure is, there's still room. There's still capacity in our vessels for increase. Whatever your own measure is, glory to God. There's still room for increase. So he prayed first in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. And let's read that. Let's read that from the Amplified, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight." Look at that first. Look at that first part. "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more." It may abound. Look at all these words. Abound. Yet. More. And more. And more. That's that our love may overflow. That our love may increase and increase and increase. And I guarantee you, my brother, I guarantee you, my sisters, the more we dig into these studies on the love of God, the more we avail ourselves of the revelation that the Holy Spirit is giving to us, I guarantee you, the more our love, the level of our love will increase, the more we'll abound, more and more until we begin to overflow in the love of God. Notice, it says that your love may abound more and more and extend to its fullest development in knowledge. To its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight. Then he says that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. I love this. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo. Woo. That your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment. That sounds very much like exactly what he prayed in Ephesians 3. That you may become rooted and grounded in the love of God. That you may know the breadth and the length and the height and the depth and the height of the love of God. And that you may know the love of God that passes knowledge. Hallelujah. And that you might become filled with all the fullness of God. It sounds very much like a similar prayer here. That your love may abound yet more and more. And then he prayed a similar prayer in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. If you look at that in the Amplified, it says, and may the Lord make you to increase and excel and overflow in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you. That the Lord may cause you to increase and excel and overflow in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you. Of course, in the King James, the word that is used there is abound. That the Lord may cause you to abound. Let's read this from the King James. It says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you. But I tell you one translation that blessed me immensely of this one translation of this one version of this particular scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 2 of the Message. The Message translation. Oh my goodness. Listen to it. Message translation, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, and may the Master pour on the love. Oh Lord. May the Master pour on the love so it fills your lives and splashes over on everyone around you, just as it does from us to you. Ooh, glory to God. May the Master pour on the love so it fills your lives and splashes over on everyone around you. Oh my goodness, I love that. Master, pour on the love. It fills your lives and splashes over. So when we are filled to the point that love begins to splash over to the people around us, you know the way water is, right? You know, if you are soaked in water. Let's say you are in the rain, you were outside, you didn't have your umbrella, and a heavy downpour caught you while you were walking home, and there was nowhere to hide, and you got drenched in that rain. And you ran and tried to get into your home very quickly, as fast as you could, and finally you made it into the house. You know, because you are so drenched in that rain, everywhere you walk in that dry house, we feel a splash of that water, of that rain. Amen. Everywhere you enter into the room, you feel a splash. No matter how hard you try to keep it, because you are drenched in that rain, everywhere you'll be splashing over. Glory to God. I really love the use of these words in the Message translation. that the Master will pour on the love, our lives will become so filled until they begin to splash over on everyone around us. And that is so particularly amazing, because when you become filled with the love of God in these measures that the Bible is talking about, in these abounding measures that the Word of God is talking about, when you become filled to the love of God, with the love of God like that, to these abounding measures, then what you are going to find is you are going to be splashing over. You're going to splash over to the people that are around you. You're going to splash over to the people that are far away from you. You're going to splash over to the people that you don't even know in person. You're going to splash over to the people that are close to you. You're going to splash over to those that are not close to you. You're going to splash. You are just going to splash over. Why? Because you are full of that love. You are full to the point where it's overflowing. And because it's overflowing, is splashing over. That's what the Lord wants for each and every one of us. That's why Paul prayed this prayer. This is God's dream for you and for me, that we will be so filled with the love of God that we begin to splash over on everyone. You splash over to your spouse if you have one. You splash over to your children if you have them. You splash over to your relatives, to your siblings if you have some. You splash over to parents if you have some. You splash over to your neighbors. You splash you splash over, glory to God, to your co-workers. You splash over. Do you see this picture? You see the picture the Lord is painting? It is impossible for us to attain unto this measure of love, abounding love, and for people not to be touched by that love. It's impossible. It's impossible for us to receive and to be filled with this measure of abounding love, and for that love not to begin to affect people around us, people far away from us. That love, you see, because we are so full of it and it's overflowing, it will reach way beyond our local communities. That love will reach way beyond just your local circle of relationships. It will just be splashing over. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I pray you get a hold of this word, of this revelation, of this understanding. The love of God just splashes over through you. Splashes over through you. My goodness. Everywhere you go, when you show up, people just expect love. They don't expect hatred. They don't expect bitterness. They don't expect vengeance. They don't expect unforgiveness. When you show up anywhere, people just expect love. People expect goodness. People expect kindness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's come back here in a minute, right? We'll come back here in just a minute, because I want us now to talk about, and I want us to kind of just highlight those tonight. This is one of the biggest reasons. Number one, this is the crux of the prayer that Paul prays. Also one of the biggest reasons why we are studying this series of lessons together on this God's love revolution. So in praying that prayer, I want us to ask the question and answer the question, how do we increase in the love of God? How do we increase in our measure and then increase to the point where we are abounding in the love of God? Obviously, it's in measures. How do we increase in the love of God? Right? Touch on that just a little bit tonight and then close out. Glory to God. Glory to God. But before we do that, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. This has been a staple of our studies over the last few weeks, Romans chapter 8 from verse 31. And I fell in love with the Passion Translation of this particular scripture. Romans chapter 8 from verse 31 in the Passion Translation. Hallelujah. If you don't have it, just listen to me. I'm going to read it out to you. Romans chapter 8 from verse 31. I'm going to read all the way down to verse 39. Hallelujah. And that section of my Bible, I've said it in one of our previous teachings before. That section, that whole section of my own Bible, I don't know what it says in yours. That entire section of my own Bible, actually, the subtitle, the subheading is God's Everlasting Love. Romans 8:31 in the Passion Translation. So what does all this mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure. I love that. For God has proved his love for us by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his son. Hallelujah. And since God freely offered him up as the sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else that he has to give. If God gave us his greatest gift, his son, his only son, then he will not withhold from us any other good thing that he has to give to us. Hallelujah. Verse 33. Who then would dare to accuse those whom God has chosen in love? I like that. Who then would dare to accuse those whom God has chosen in love to be his? Who can accuse us? Who can condemn us? God himself is the judge who has issued his final verdict on them, not guilty. Not guilty. Glory to God. His love acquitted us. His love delivered us. His love pulled us out of the miry clay and set our feet on the rock to stay. His love gave us a new beginning. His love changed our story. I often think about the story of the prodigal son. You know, we call in Luke chapter, I think it's Luke chapter 15. You know, we call that story, all of us, we describe that young man as the prodigal son. Well, that's an apt description, knowing what happened to him. But do you know, not one time in that story did his father describe him as a prodigal son. Not once. In fact, that entire story, when you read it in its rightful context, is better captioned. That young man is better described as the restored son instead of the prodigal son. The restored son. Well, guess what? God's love restored us. Just like that young man's father's love restored him. He used to be in the pig pen. He was flocking with harlots and out in the abyss of life, wasting away to the point where he found himself in the pig pen one day, scrambling, trying to survive. And he suddenly came to his senses. But when he came to his senses and decided to go back home, when he got back home, his father didn't hold a list of all the wrongs that he had done. I said, well, look at this. You did that. Number one, you did that. You wrongfully demanded your inheritance. First strike against you. No. Number two, you dishonored me in not waiting for me to choose the time to bless you with that inheritance. Second strike. Number three, you took all of that inheritance that I gave to you and you wasted it. You wasted it. Third strike. Number four, I mean, he could go on. He could have had a list that went on and on and on and on. But no, he did not. The Bible says he was there waiting on his son with wide open arms. Wide open arms. And then he said to his servant, when his son arrived, said, go and kill the fatted ram, the fatted calf. Go and bring the best that we have. Put a robe on him. Put a ring on his finger, a ring of royalty. You know, that boy didn't deserve that. The love of his father restored him to sonship. As though he never left. As though he never did wrong. That's what the love of our father did for us. Glory to God. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Come on. Go ahead. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your everlasting love. Glory to God. He said in verse 34, who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one. For Jesus gave his life for us. And even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us since he's continually praying for our triumph? We have studied this just so many times. We've talked about this just so often in this series of teachings. The four redemptive acts of Christ. He died for us. When he was buried, he rose for us. His resurrection on the third day. Then he ascended to the right hand of the Father, his ascension. And then on the right hand of the Father today, he's praying for us. He's praying for us. His intercession, his ministry of intercession as our high priest. All of that was rooted in the love of God. It's rooted in the love of God. He has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us since he's continually praying for our triumph? Verse 35. Who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? God's love is endless. Who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love toward us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. Hallelujah. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No. For they are all impotent to hinder God's omnipotent love. God's love is omnipotent. It's all powerful. There's nothing that can stand between us and the power of the love of God. Then he goes on in verse 36. Even though it is written all day long, we face death threats for your sake, God. We are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37. Yet even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all, for God has made us to be more than conquerors, and his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. Hallelujah. His demonstrated love is our victory over everything. Finally, verse 38 and verse 39. So now I live with the confidence. I love this. This is the faith that works by love. Now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced, I'm persuaded that his love will triumph over death. His love will triumph over life's troubles. His love will triumph over fallen angels. His love will triumph over dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love for us. Hallelujah. There is no power above us. There is no power beneath us. No power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. The King James puts it very simply. Nothing. He said, I'm persuaded that nothing could ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. That is, nothing has the power to deny us the benefits of the love of God. Whether it's justification, whether it's abundant life, forgiveness of our sins, receiving the mercy of God, enjoying and walking in the favor of God, having divine protection, divine provision, enjoying promotion on a daily basis, enjoying supernatural blessings, divine interventions every day of our lives. Nothing has the power to stand between us and all of those benefits of the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. It is amazing. Glory to God. It is truly amazing. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Let's go back there where Paul prayed those prayers in Philippians 1:9 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, that we may abound in the love of God. And in Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 14, that we may be grounded and rooted in the love of God, be filled with the knowledge of the love of God that passes all knowledge, until we become filled with the fullness of God. How do we increase in the love of God? All right. I'm just going to mention them. It is possible at some point during our studies, much later in the future, at some point, you'll see us delving more and more into some of this. But let's just mention a little bit of this tonight. There are four major ways. What's the question? How do we increase and abound in the love of God? How do we increase and abound in the love of God? How do we increase and abound in the love of God? This is the crux of why we are studying this love revolution. This is the goal, is that we may be able to increase and abound in the love of God. So whatever portion, whatever measure of the love of God we currently have in our life, which is, praise God, that is better than anything anyone that does not have Christ has. But there's so much more room. There's so much more room for increase in that measure. And when you consider the power, the fact that it is the overflowing, abounding measure of the love of God that enables us to enjoy his empowerment in every area of our lives, my goodness, then that becomes a must for me. And I hope it's the same for you. That becomes a must for me. Like, that's not optional. Like, if the empowerment that God has made available for me in different areas of my life is dependent on my ability to increase and abound in his love, my goodness, that becomes imperative for me. There's an urgency for me. He said, after I prayed that prayer, Then he says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. Well, what is the power that is at work within us? Power that is at work within us is the power of the love of God. And the more the love of God increases, and the more the love of God abounds in our lives and in our hearts, the more of his empowerment we will enjoy. Hallelujah. The more the Master pours on and adds on to his love in our lives, and the more we are filled with his love, and the more that love splashes over to everyone around us, the more empowerment, the more of his empowerment we will have. Have you found out that the people of love are the strongest people on this earth? The people of love are the strongest people on this earth, in this universe. The people of love are the people that can never be overcome. It doesn't matter what anyone does to someone, a child of God's love, when you have someone who is full of the love of God, you can't shut them down. You can't limit them. Because when you are full of the love of God, first of all, spiritually, you are at a level. You are at such a level where, there is nothing that can touch you up there. Mentally, when you are filled with the love, have you found out that people, when in each and every one of our lives, when each of us may have experienced this at different points in time in our lives, when we soaked ourselves in the love of God. Have you noticed? No matter what the tribulation, difficulty, adversity that we may be experiencing, we just feel invincible. Like that scripture said, we are so confident, we are so convinced that that adversity will expire. We just walk through it. Yeah, sometimes there might be pain. Sometimes there might be difficulties, disappointments, and all those other different emotions that come. But we're like the three Hebrew boys who went through fire, but they were confident in that fire. And when they came out, there was no smell of the smoke on them. That's what the love of God does. That's what the love of God does. So let's mention this real quickly tonight as we close. How do we increase and abound in the love of God? Number one, if you are taking notes, I'm going to do this slowly so you can write this down. Number one, through an increasing revelation knowledge of the love of God for us, for you. The more revelation knowledge you have of the love of God for you, the more you will increase in that love, the more you will abound in that love. Increasing knowledge of the love of God for you. Number two, by embracing and receiving more of that love. By embracing that love and receiving more of it. That's how you increase in it. That's how you abound in it. Because when you receive it, that cup, that measure keeps increasing. When you receive it, and when you embrace it and you receive it, that measure, that small measure, keeps increasing until it begins to overflow. Hallelujah. By embracing and receiving more of the love of God. Number three, by intentionally living with the consciousness of God's radical love for you. By intentionally living with the consciousness of God's radical love for you and the power that it produces in your life. We've just read Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 8 from verse 31. By intentionally living with the consciousness of God's radical love for us and the power that it produces in our lives. Notice number one, number two, number three, all of those are actually a lot of what we have been doing over the last 8 weeks, a little bit more than that maybe, since we have been in this series of studies. A lot of that is what we have been receiving. Amen. Increasing knowledge, increasing revelation knowledge of the love of God, embracing and receiving more of the love of God, intentionally living with the consciousness of God's radical love for us and the power that it produces in our lives. I want to read a piece of scripture here. 1 John. I'm going to read this from the Living Bible. Our time is almost gone. We've got to close here. 1 John chapter 4. And let's read this from verse 16 to verse 19. I'm going to read this, like I said, from the Living Bible. Look at this. So when you talk about embracing and receiving more of the love of God, and you talk about intentionally living with the consciousness of God's radical love for us and the power it produces in our lives, this is a powerful scripture. Listen to this. It says, 1 John 4:16, we know how much God loves us because we have felt his love and because we believe him when he tells us that he loves us dearly. God is love. And anyone who lives in love is living with God, and God is living with him, or God is living in him. Verse 17. And as we live with Christ, our love grows more perfect and complete. That's it. That's it. When you dwell in Christ, we dwell in his love. We embrace it. We receive it. We grow in it. It says, well, as we live with Christ, our love grows more perfect and complete, so we will not be ashamed and embarrassed at the day of judgment. But we can face him with confidence and joy because he loves us and we love him too. Amen. Verse 18, and we need have no fear of someone who loves. We need have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. I really like this. Perfect love casts out fear, is the way the King James puts this. Love, the love of God eliminates all fear. The love of God demolishes all fear. Actually, it's one of the indicators of how much of the love of God we have in our lives when we are fear-free. When you are completely fear-free, it shows that you are abounding in the love of God. There's just a spiritual connection. It is impossible to explain it through natural means. We have to receive a revelation of this. When you are bound in the love of God, you become totally fear-free. Fear-free. There's no fear of judgment. There's no fear of condemnation. There's also no fear of what any human can do to you. There's also no fear of what any situation can produce against you. When you are bound in the love of God, you become totally fear-free. Amen. There is a confidence in God that comes into your life when you are bound in his love. You know, God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. You are completely free from fear. Fear. The love of God completely demolishes fear. There is no dread in love. The Bible says there is no fear in love. So it is impossible for you to be full of the love of God and to have any, even an iota of fear. There can be no way for you to have fear when you are full of the love of God. There's no dread. There's no panic. There is no anxiety. Let's finish this. Our time, I got to close here. We need have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what he might do to us. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what he might do to us and shows that we are not fully convinced that he really loves us. So you see, our love for him comes as a result of his loving us first. Let's close this here. So we've identified three ways. There's a fourth one. This fourth one is what we're going to devote the bulk of our studies to when we get past this first initial section, right? What are the first three ways in which we grow and increase and abound in the love of God? Number one, increasing revelation knowledge of the love of God. Number two, embracing and receiving more of the love of God. Number three, intentionally living with the consciousness of God's radical love for us and the power that it produces in our lives. Then number four, channeling and practicing the love of God intentionally every day. Channeling and practicing the love of God intentionally every day. The more you give out, the more it overflows. Channeling and practicing the love of God intentionally every day. The more you give out, the more it overflows. You can actually see that in this last verse here. Hallelujah. In this last few verses here, in 1 John 4 that we just read, if anyone says, I love God, but keeps on hating his brother, he's a liar. For if he doesn't love his brother who is right there in front of him, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And God himself has said that one must not only love God, but his brother through channeling and practicing the love of God intentionally every day. The more you give up, the more it overflows. Let's close out here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5, glory to God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Let's read this in the message. I like this in the message. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Watch what God does and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly, verse 2, what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but it was extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Father, we thank you tonight. We receive your extravagant love. We bless and we magnify your holy name. Thank you. Thank you for opening up our hearts, giving us revelation and understanding about your love. We give you praise tonight. I thank you, and I give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Saints, we're out of time. Thank you so much again for being with us during this Bible study tonight. Glory to God. I look forward to seeing you exactly same time next week. God bless you. Good night.